Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We just got done talking about the Chargers and the Raiders and kind of leans into this a little bit more. If the Chiefs don't win the division, gave you the odds. If they don't win the division, the head coach of whoever that team is, whether it's Harbaugh or Sean Payton, that should be the coach of the year. Now, I understand that Shane Steichen, if the Colts win 13 games or something, he probably should and will be the head coach. Heck, if they win 11 games, Shane Steichen might be the coach of the year. But right. If you are the coach that ends the 9-year run of the Chiefs and you win it by winning 12 plus games to do so, then Harbaugh should be coach of the year. He's 10-1 right now. Actually, he's got the second best odds. Sean Payton is 30-1. So Harbaugh has the better path. We just got done talking about their scenario. So
did Tony Sparano win it the year that he knocked off the Patriots?
I do not know.
In fairness, Tom Brady got hurt for the year. So maybe that one.
I'm not sure. I'm just saying whoever, if in fact it happens this year where the Chargers win the division, Harbaugh should be coach of the year.
I don't think that's unfair. I still think the coach of the year is kind of lame in the way they do their process, in the sense that Andy Reid and other good coaches on good teams just have no chance.
It's an overachieving award is what it is.
Yeah, which puts Shane Steichen firmly in the mix for that. But I don't disagree. This would be the only chance I think Harbaugh should get a chance to win it, based on the same criteria, in the sense that you're supposed to have one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. I can't just be handing it to you. But if you knock off the dynasty from doing the thing they've done for a decade straight, sure. It's so funny because the coach of the year, it's mostly a who's of fired head coaches or bad head coaches. That's what makes it so weird. I'm not saying there aren't some, because like John Harbaugh won it when they went 14-2 and 19. Sean McVay won it. Those are great coaches. Nagy's won in the last decade. Stefanski twice, because Jay Binkley's pointed out multiple times. Brian Daboll, a guy who we don't think
is
going to get through the end of the year. Vrabel, who was eventually fired from the Titans a few years after that. Like, it is just as likely to be Bruce Arians or Ron Rivera, both won in the last 10 to 12 years. It's mostly a list of guys, again, overachieving, meaning the following year you get fired.
Yeah, overachievers and first-year head coaches and new head coaches have the inside track. Brian Schottenheimer in Dallas has a good chance. If Dallas were to win 10 games, he's in play to win it. New head coach. It's just the way this award has worked. That's why it's kind of fun to bet on. It's a fun market because it can shift pretty quickly.
First, like MVP, which, you know, three things have to happen. The only thing you know about coach of the year is don't vote on the three best coaches in the NFL. Don't vote on McVay.
Yeah, you have to have a perfect seat. You'd have to have a perfect season if you're any of those top tier coaches.
Speaking of Sean McVay, okay, so we all got scared off of the Rams for pretty good reason, I think, because Matt Stafford was coming in with like serious injury concerns, didn't practice any part of August. But we also said one thing amongst us, Gold, which was, well, I loved them before the year. I thought that they had a ton of talent, could have a great team, could be a real threat in the NFC. Well, Stafford's been healthy, and they look every bit of it. That looks like an offense that can score. That looks like a team that can contend. That looks like one of the three best teams in the NFC. If Stafford stays healthy, they are one of the best teams in the NFC, and they can win a Super Bowl.
Like, sure.
I mean,
and they got Puka in the end zone for the first time since week 14 last year, which is kind of crazy. It took that long.
Yeah, that is
even
weird.
Though he's been putting out numbers. The question is, it's still going to be Stafford's health, Puka's health for that matter as well. But we know the defensive front that they have. I didn't think they were all that impressive against Tennessee. It's Tennessee. But with that said, Matthew Stafford looks sharp. And if he can stay upright, then I'm with you. The Rams will have a great chance to win the division and be one of the top three seeds in the NFC.
We'll get a better sense of it. They got Philly and Baltimore both on the road in the next four weeks. San Francisco and the Colts squeeze between that. So that's kind of it's an interesting schedule. We'll see.
So I haven't been overly impressed with Ben Johnson. I think part of this is just he's the next guy. Like he's going to be the next Kyle Shanahan. He's Sean McVay, all of this other stuff. And I don't know if that part of that is actually Caleb Williams and just what he's kind of inherited. But going into the season, I think they have really under-delivered to what a lot of people have kind of expected from them. Obviously, they're 0-2. They blow the game against the Vikings, and then they get completely destroyed in Ben Johnson's return to Detroit, where Jared Goff does not look like he needed Ben Johnson as much as people say he did to have the success that he did. I think from what it's more about the hype of what people thought Ben Johnson would be, where we haven't seen that two games in, and whether it's from a points per game perspective, a passing yards per game perspective, they're in the bottom half of both of those. They are a top, I believe, 15 or 10, maybe even offensive team in terms of running the football, but it just doesn't feel like we're getting what people thought we would get maybe from Ben Johnson, at least through two games. It's really early, of course, but it doesn't, plus the mistake in the game against the Vikings with not kicking the ball out of bounds, it doesn't feel like he's delivered so far.
Some of it has just got to be for them. So there's a couple of questions you ask yourself as it relates to that. One, just Caleb Williams just stink. And he didn't stink last year. 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That's not way off from Justin Herbert's numbers, including the yardage, right? So, like, he wasn't the world's worst quarterback last season. So if there isn't noticeable improvement from Caleb Williams, I will fear that from their perspective. But it's also new offense, new system, new scheme. This goes back to the original thing of the way I don't like how they handle this stuff. It's probably going to take Caleb Williams a little bit of time and Ben Johnson a little bit of time to put his stamp on this thing.
They've got a couple weeks ahead,
I don't know.
You know, where there's maybe an opportunity to get going. The Cowboys this week, that defense doesn't look good of Dallas. The Raiders, we just saw them. Commanders, we don't know if Jaden Daniels is playing. And then the Saints before they play the Ravens and Bengals. So like the next 4 weeks, I think, will kind of tell us if it's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
I'm talking push for playoffs or anything like that. Otherwise, it is still year one. Keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, I think this past week was more about Detroit was just out to prove to everybody that Packers game won. The Packers are really good, but we're still here. Like, our offense is still this. We also are very familiar with Ben Johnson. All of that probably contributed to what was a disappointing performance by the Chicago Bears. That's all 32.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.